ordained to bring forth fruit. Christ says of his followers, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you." Satan, the great apostate, has drawn the world to himself. But if the gift of the only begotten Son, the Father has provided that divine power shall work in opposition to the powers of darkness. Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Satan has placed his seat on the earth, where should be the throne of God, and men prostrate themselves before the prince of evil, rendering to him the homage that belongs alone to God. But the cross of Christ has been erected between earth and heaven, and Jesus, the Prince of Life, says, "Through my love, I will draw the idolatrous hearts of men to myself. I will place myself in harmony with human nature and will engage every holy influence and agency in the universe to array itself against the forces of evil." The Lord of life and glory came and dwelt among men. Instead of withdrawing himself because of the sinfulness of man, instead of confining his labors to a few congenial spirits, and leaving those who knew him not to the blindness and ignorance of their sinful hearts, as they deserved to be left, he came nearer to erring humanity. In the plan of restoring in men the divine image, it was provided that the Holy Spirit should move upon human minds and be as the presence of Christ, a molding agency upon the human character. Receiving the truth, men also become recipients of the grace of Christ and devote their sanctified human ability to the work in which Christ was engaged. Men become laborers together with God. It is to make men agents for God that divine truth is brought home to their understanding. Let us inquire of the church. Have you answered this purpose? Have you fulfilled the design of God in diffusing the light of divine truth, in scattering abroad the precious jewels of truth? What must be the thoughts of the angels of God as they look upon the Church of Christ and see how slow is the action of those who profess to be the followers of Christ to impart the light of truth to the world which lies in moral darkness? Heavenly intelligences know that the cross is the great center of attraction. They know that it is through the cross that fallen man is to receive the atonement and to be brought into unity with God. The councils of heaven are looking upon you who claim to have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, to see you make known the salvation of God to those who sit in darkness. They are looking to see you making known the significance of the compensation of the Holy Spirit, how that through the working of this divine agency the minds of men, corrupted and defiled by sin, may become disenchanted with the lies and presentations of Satan and turn to Christ as their only hope, their personal Savior. Christ says, "I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." As Christ's ambassador, I would entreat of all who read these lines to take heed while it is called today. "If ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart." Without waiting a moment, inquire, "What am I to Christ? And what is Christ to me? What is the character of my work? What is the character of the fruit I bear?" It is the Christian's business to shine. The professed follower of Christ is not fulfilling the requirements of the gospel unless he is ministering to others. He is never to forget that he is to let his light so shine before men that they, seeing his good works, may glorify their Father which is in heaven. His speech is to be always with grace and in harmony with his profession of faith. His work is to reveal Christ to the world. Jesus Christ and him crucified is his inexhaustible theme, of which he is freely to speak, bringing out of the good treasure of his heart the precious things of the gospel. The heart that is filled with the blessed hope, that is big with immortality and full of glory, cannot be dumb.
Those with whom the Christian comes in contact
have a right to know what has been revealed to the follower of Christ, and he is to make it known both by precept and example. The Christian is to publish the good news of salvation, and he is never to be weary of the recital of God's goodness. He is continually to draw with Christ, and continually to draw from Christ, eating the flesh and drinking the blood of the Son of Man, which Jesus declares are his words. They are spirit, and they are life. Thus he will always have a fresh supply of heavenly manna. Every Christian, high or low, rich or poor, learned or ignorant, is to talk of the kingdom of God, to speak of Christ and him crucified, to those who are in ignorance and sin. You are to speak to sinners, for you know not but God is moving upon their hearts. Never forget that great responsibility attaches to every word you utter in their presence. Ask yourself the question, how many have I spoken to with my heart filled with the love of Christ concerning the unspeakable gift of God's mercy and Christ's righteousness? To how many of your friends, relatives, and neighbors have you written, reaching out in unselfish love that their souls may be saved? Christ said, I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it. What are you doing, my Christian brothers and sisters? Can you say that as far as it was in your power, you have declared or represented Christ and his love for fallen humanity to those who know him not? If you have confined your efforts merely to those who are of the same faith as yourself, what about seeking to save those who are lost? If the curtain should be rolled back, you would see souls perishing in their sins, and the church idle, indolent, unsympathetic, absorbed in selfish interests, and caring not whether souls are saved or lost, so long as they themselves can have an easy time and be secure in the hope of salvation. But no one will ever enter heaven who is not a laborer together with God. If you had any appreciation of the salvation brought to you at infinite cost, you would arouse, you would lay hold upon the strength of Jesus, you would lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. You would cry loud, and spare not. You would work to the utmost of your capacity, reaching first one and then another.